Welcome to the Monster Club.
An honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans.
Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have... Spoilers Ho! I'm Jethel.
And I'm Tark.
Today, we continue down the Rube Goldberg of Death in the fourth installment of the Final Destination franchise, Final Destination 4, in 3D.
Or not.
Well, we didn't see it in 3D, but it was obviously done in 3D.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to get this out of the way real quick. Why do I bother to mention that it was made in 3D, even though you can't really see it on 3D at home? Well, it has all the tropes of the stereotypical 3D movie. Yeah. Things thrust at the screen, stuff spinning in three dimensions, you know, the whole Matrix camera thing where it, you know, goes around the thing and just, Oh my God, this movie was horrible. I watched it in 3D in the theater. Mm-hmm. It was just like, really? You're just going to thrust something at the screen? This isn't the 80s with the blue and red, you know, 3D glasses. This is 3D in the worst way possible.
I couldn't put my finger on it. I forgot that it was made for 3D. But now that you've said that, now it all makes sense. Because
you're sitting there watching this thing like, why the hell are they doing? That is a weird camera choice.
It was nothing I could put my finger on, just that this film felt, you know how you said for the previous film, the roller coaster one, that it had become cookie cutter?
Yeah.
At this point in this franchise, this is the movie where I feel like they just kind of copy-pasted.
Just going with the flow.
You know, and there was no new twist.
Nope.
None of the characters were particularly interesting. It all just seemed to be a huge artifice just to say, okay, how can we get as quickly as possible to the death?
You know what would be really cool? Let's make Final Destination in 3D. Okay, what can we do? All right, think of five ways people can die horribly. Okay, now let's fit it into a story. That's
pretty much what they did.
We're watching this last night, me and Liz.
Uh-huh.
We're watching this last night, and all right, it's going pretty well so far. Hey, guys, I found this story about Flight 180. God damn it!
like I said, they have to reference, you know.
God.
They have to at least reference the original so that the characters aren't working shit out from scratch.
Some people say you can stop death. Some people say if you save someone, it'll skip them and start all over. What people? Who are saying this? They're all dead.
Yeah, that was a little weird. You would think that at some point, you know, they would learn about it in a different way other than looking it up on Google.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's sitting there going, well, some people say if you save one person, it'll skip them and go to the next one. Some people say if you save someone, it'll reset the whole thing.
Maybe
the end of the third movie, everybody was dead.
Maybe the Final Destination universe has like a Reddit board for people who were friends of the people who were targeted to death.
By the way, if you happen to find yourself in a situation where you have a premonition about a bunch of people and you end up saving them and they start dying one by one in the order they would have died, this is what you need to do. Who has this handbook?
Hmm.
Handbook for the recently deceased? Is it in that? Is it in Beetlejuice? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Handbook for the might have been recently deceased but had a vision and saved everyone at the last possible second. And by the way, this may have actually been inspired by true events.
Oh yeah, go ahead and tell.
All right, let me bring this up here because. Okay, Final Destination. This may have been inspired by the 1955 Le Mans tragedy where Pierre Levin hit a barricade and his car and his engine was catapulted into the audience, killing 82 people and injuring hundreds of others. is the worst. It is the worst tragedy in NASCAR history. So that's entirely possible. But as we all know, NASCAR has a shitload of crashes on a weekly basis. Not as much as they used to, of course, because of safety regulations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But as someone who did follow NASCAR for a few years, this shit ain't happening. The whole, an entire car being catapulted into the audience, that shit just doesn't happen.
But it was an engine.
I'm going to get personal on your ass here. Uh-oh. On my own ass, I should say.
Okay.
My dad and I were hit by a drunk driver in 93.
Oh, no.
I suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder because of that. To deal with this, I engulfed myself in death. Mm-hmm. Specifically, crashes. Mm-hmm. So I watched every... the greatest crashes of NASCAR. Yeah, they have videos of the greatest crashes of NASCAR and stuff like that. And that's where I learned about this this 82 death NASCAR thing back from 1955. And I've been to a shit ton of NASCAR events. I mean, not as much as, say, rednecks from the South. Okay, I'm pointing out rednecks are in the South. That's all right. They're not all in the South. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Don't get a hair up your ass. Tell your sister wife to get you a beer. But I have seen lots of NASCAR crashes, and nothing like what happens in this movie could possibly happen. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying about the crash itself. Now, this movie proves my theory that people who make horror movies don't understand basic anatomy. Specifically, that we have bones. It proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt.
What does now?
Proves the theory that I have that people that make horror movies don't believe we have skeletons.
Oh, okay.
And the proof comes... We're not going to go one by one now because this is just... This is the same movie over and over again. But I just want to point out some of the stupidity. Mm. Because this is one of the worst of the franchise, I thought. Certainly not worthy of what they thought was going to be the end of the franchise.
I agree, yeah.
Mechanic guy. What the fuck was his name? I had it written down here. Andy, the mechanic. Mm-hmm. Truck loses control. He's next to a highly improbably made fence. I have never seen a fence like this.
Probably supposed to be a chain link fence, and then they said, "You know what? We don't think that's going to work. We have to invent some new kind of."
Yes, we need to make a fence that looks like one of those things that you make French fries with.
Yeah, it makes julienne fries.
Exactly. You can put the potato in, you press down on the lever, it forces it through this grate. That's exactly what this fence looked like. It was the potato slicer from hell.
Yeah.
So anyway, truck loses control coming out of his garage. He's pushed into the fence and through the fence.
But not immediately. The truck comes within inches of him. And then suddenly lurches backwards after
right,
a moment.
Right, right. The tow cable holds at the last moment. And then a CO2 tank or something like that flies up and pushes him through the fence. Hunks of meat come out the other side of the fence. Not a single bone.
Yeah, that was just stupid.
Just hunks of meat. Also, let's point out, yes, that probably would have killed him anyway. But skeletal system would have prevented him from going through the fence.
Yeah,
we have a spine, people, it works.
Hey, spine, ribs, tibula. Okay.
Yeah, but there is nothing. He is just forced through the fence like he's made of nothing but hamburger.
It was like a garlic press, but for humans. Pretty much.
Yeah,
and, you're right. That was pretty stupid.
That was the most stupid death I think I've, out of the entire Final Destination franchise, that is the most improbable.
That, it screamed, we're doing this for 3D. That's it.
It's that, greedy.
The whole movie is that
we
way.
Just love
but that
it.
That death in particular was just like, oh, how. I mean, at least in, like, Resident Evil, when the lasers come, you know what I'm talking about, the lasers, that one scene.
That diced him, yeah.
You know, that's probable, because the lasers would have cut through all the bone, too.
Yes.
You know, but this, it was just ridiculous. Absolutely correct. I mean, what was that fence surfaced with? Razor wire?
Must have been. they sharpened it this morning, polished it, finally honed it. And they threw a potato at it just to test it.
Yeah.
While we're on that subject, this has nothing to do with Final Destination, but I'm really getting tired of movies saying how sharp this sword is by slicing through someone's head or body or whatever, and then they're looking around like, oh, what just happened? I don't know. Oh, my head's coming off.
Nothing
on this planet can make a slice that thin where the person actually... You know, you slice through, and nothing happens for a few seconds. Nothing will do that.
Well, I don't know about a neck, you know, but it certainly happened to
me. Or in the case of Underworld, through the head?
It happened to my finger once. I cut myself on a large piece of plate glass that had a broken edge. And I snatched my hand back, and for a moment, nothing was wrong with it. And then the flesh split open and bled.
Right, but I'm talking like through the bone, or in the case of Underworld, through the brain.
Mm.
Sorry, no.
Maybe. I don't know. It at that point, I'm willing to forgive it because it's a movie. But this particular instance with the, you know, with the human garlic breast, that was ridiculous.
That was wrong.
What physically shoved him against the fence? Was it the air tank moving
against
the truck?
I think the air tank blew him against the fence after the truck got stopped.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, because how did the air tank reach him if he was pinned behind the truck?
Oh, no, he moved out from behind the truck after it stopped.
Oh, and then it hit him.
Right.
So the air tank is this metal cylinder flying at a very fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to hit him in the back, I'm assuming?
No, it hit him in the chest.
In the chest. He turned around to see.
Again, I point out it would have killed him anyway.
Yeah.
But not in the way they depicted.
It kind of seems weird that this flying cylinder pressed his entire body evenly through the fence.
Mm-hmm.
It that was stupid. It would have been more believable to have the truck smash his entire body back through the fence.
However! Mm-hmm. More stupidity. Mm-hmm. This is not an actual death. This is a premonition death. In the mall, the escalator.
Oh, yes.
He's holding on to the girl. The escalator stairs have gone away, and you see the gears of the escalator. Okay, people have died as falling into an escalator gear thing. It has happened. I've seen video of it. Mm-hmm. It happened in China, I think. But... let's talk about the other trope that I'm on about us being giant bags of blood. Her foot gets snagged in the gears, and she suddenly starts spitting up blood. It's your foot!
Yeah, that's just kind of that didn't make sense to me at all.
Oh my God, these people were stupid.
Well...
I'm talking about the characters. I'm talking about the people who made this movie.
I don't think that the people who made the movie legitimately thought, okay, this does or does not make sense. They were just like, it's a horror
shock
movie.
Factor.
They just didn't try very hard to make it.
Oh, my God.
You know, it was stupid.
All right.
Now, I couldn't put my finger on it at the time, but that particular sequence did seem kind of meh. And I watched some of the behind the scenes stuff, and they literally used a latex dummy filled with blood bags and stuff. So it did not have any sort of support structure. It was just a big rubbery, you know, cast filled with stuff. And so when they fed the legs down in, it looked ridiculous. So you only see that briefly in the movie. But there it is.
Also in the mall cinema scene. So How many kilotons of nuclear explosives do you think they were hiding back there?
That was a lot of explosives to have on a construction site, wasn't
what
it?
What the hell were in those barrels? There was like half a dozen barrels labeled flammable. For what?
Apparently, they were building that entire mall out of kerosene somehow.
Apparently. Oh my God. And it boggles my imagination. Okay, they're in a construction scene. I understand they might need, like, some acetylene torches, stuff like that. But what the hell were in the barrels? It was just, what, filled with gasoline or something? Why was it there? There was no point in those barrels being in that scene. So we need something that says explosive or flammable or inflammable. Why does inflammable mean flammable? I don't understand these things. Why were those drums in that area? It makes no sense.
Yeah. This entire movie felt like somebody, they just kind of took ideas and threw them at the wall and said, what can we make, you know, 3D out of? Instead of, okay, let's do some research and make sure that everything makes sense, that it's plausible. I can't think of any of the stuff from the previous movies that was nearly as implausible as the death scenes from and premonitions from the final, from Final Destination 4.
Yeah,
it turned out not to be the final destination.
Oh, my God. It was like it's a horror movie made by people who hate horror movies.
I wouldn't say they hate it. They just didn't put as much effort into this movie as they had previously.
And this is what they call a cash grab.
A cash crap? Where they're just like, okay, we need some cash. Let's push out another one.
Hey, you know what? If we don't make another Final Destination, someone else can take the franchise away from us. They have to do that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, once your copyright ends. I mean, that's why the last Hellraiser movie was an abomination. It was an abortion of a movie. I hate to put that image into your head, but the last Hellraiser movie was just so they kept the franchise. We have to pump out something this year or we lose rights to the franchise.
Now, who were they licensing the... Who was the studio licensing the franchise rights from? I thought they created it.
Well, Clive Barker created it, but it had been like 20 years.
No. I'm talking about Final Destination specifically. Oh. I mean, it's their franchise, unless somebody else was making it at this point.
Maybe. I don't know. Either that or they're... I don't think
if Paramount doesn't pump out a Star Trek every few years that suddenly anybody can make Star Trek. That's ridiculous. They own Star Trek. They, you know, that...
I don't know. That fan film just recently won a lawsuit.
Well, they didn't... Paramount lost its... Oh, really? Did the court really rule in that?
Either that or what was it? It was you couldn't license a language?
Yeah, that was Paramount's Klingon, saying they own Klingon. That's ridiculous.
Can't license a language. Sorry, I don't care if you...
I don't think that they lost or won, but I think J.J. Abrams and somebody else went to the studio heads and convinced them to drop it.
Yeah. Because I'm sorry, sometimes the fan-made stuff is better than what the studios will come up with.
Just as an aside, before we get back to the movie, did I ever mention Star Trek Continues to you?
No.
Fantastic fan production continuation of the original series.
Isn't that the one that they had the lawsuit about?
No. The one they had the lawsuit about is called something something Axanar.
Oh, all right.
It's about a famous Klingon battle with the Klingons that... That's referenced several times in the original series continuity.
Continuity.
but the Star Trek Continues, you know, they nail the filming style, the writing, the lighting, the music, everything is done as if it was original series episodes. And only a couple of times do they kind of veer off the feel and style, you know, and the actors that they get are pretty, you know, freaking competent. The guy who plays Kirk is the big mover behind the entire thing. And
oh, nice. All right.
And it is, if you are a fan of the original series, watch that stuff. They have their own website. Just Google it up, and you can. They have very high quality streaming video to watch of all six. All right. They just released their sixth episode. And
hey,
that was good. Okay, so back to the destination. Right, so, cut all that out.
So no, we're not going to edit it out. You know why? We have a good show going here. We're talking about something with passion.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go from talking about something that works back to the piece of crap that is Final Destination 4.
Okay, but my least favorite death from the movie isn't the fence one. Uh-huh. It's the pool.
I knew you were going to say the pool! I knew it!
Come on!
It's still a horrible
situation if that could actually happen, but no one believes that the motor on a pool pump is capable of, you know, disemboweling you vacuum through the guy's asshole. Man, that guy must have had a ass, you know, you could bounce a quarter off that baby, because to form a seal that tight,
yeah,
you know, right through, swimming trunks. What the hell? I do not understand that. Maybe if his stomach, I would have accepted it if his stomach had formed a flat seal.
So it would have been better for you if it came out through his navel instead of through his rectum.
So, maybe. But I guess they thought rectum is more cringeworthy and will have more people going, oh,
oh wait,
oh my
is
God.
It because the guy's an asshole?
jokes.
Jokes. And of course, it's Final Destination. There has to be a douchebag.
Yeah.
There has to be.
Because that's what they had in the original, so let's bring that back.
Douchebag!
And of course, they did something that they hadn't done previously, to my recollection. They had a sex scene. Totally unnecessary for this movie. Why?
Yeah, I don't think there was a sex scene in any of the others. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, the closest they came to were the... was the nudity with the two girls in the suntanning booth
fire. But it was, that scene was put in there to make the point that he was a douchebag.
I suppose.
I finished 4 minutes ago. You can stop now.
I don't see why, you know, I don't know. I just think it was kind of, you know, ooh, we're doing 3D. Let's have some, you know, sex going
3D
on.
3D boobies!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What the hell were you people thinking?
It just seemed like they could have shown him being a dick without him putting his dick in somebody.
Wait, I have an alternative title.
Okay, go.
Infrastructure Gone Wrong.
What?
We had the stadium falling apart. We had the pool pump going insane. And we have a car wash that completely falls apart and tries to drown this chick.
Yeah.
Infrastructure Gone Wrong.
I suppose.
We've pissed off our buildings and now it's time to attack.
That would be true. Pretty
and
true,
NASCAR right? needs to stop filling their gas tanks with propane.
Yeah.
Doesn't burn like that.
No explosions on the racetrack, huh? That is not a thing.
How dilapidated was that racetrack that the entire thing fell apart after an accident?
Yeah.
Oh my. And what was that thing with the screwdriver in the back of the NASCAR? I've never seen that.
You know, I bet that it's like all the other deaths in this movie, where they just said, well, let's find something that looks vaguely plausible, but we know that anybody who knows anything about NASCAR will be like, what? Why? I don't... What is that thing? Because you're right, it looks like a chisel or something. You know, what's it doing in the back of the car like that? I have no idea. I think it's maybe supposed to be a tool to pry off tires or something or hubcaps.
I just did a quick Google search. I thought maybe they have some kind of a quick release for the gas.
Uh-huh.
The gas cap, so you don't need a gas cap. You just put your screwdriver in, turn it, it opens the valve, you pour your gas in, close the screwdriver, and it shuts it off. But the only thing that she came up with screwdriver in back of NASCAR car was Final Destination. Italy Speedway Final Destination 4.
He might as well have said...
Maybe it's right. I don't know. Maybe that is something.
When the car took off, he might as well have said, oh, no, my plot device. You know, I mean, it didn't serve any other purpose.
Snickly Widget.
It's just like,
oh boy. Okay. Car wash scene was.
It's okay. It's okay. I the thing that I don't understand is how, I don't know. Okay, we understand that death is manipulating things directly.
Yes.
So we can get away with things happening improbably. You know, I mean, a razor wire chain link fence is one thing, okay? But the car sunroof pinning her, really? You don't have enough strength to force open?
She puts her head through the sunroof and it closes on her and...
On her neck.
As someone who has had a sunroof in his life, do you know how fragile those damn things are?
Yeah, you can pretty much pull it open with your own strength because... If you were ever trapped in the car, the designers probably knew that you might need to use the sunroof.
All you need to do is stop on those things and they pop off. It's a safety feature so you can get out of the car, like you were saying.
This
leaf in this movie is too much.
Yeah, again, it's you know, what can we do to make something look visually okay? You know,
it didn't even look visually okay. She popped her head through. It pinned her in. Then you see her rolling down the car wash, and she looks like a turtle or something. What is that? It's a head.
I find it unlikely that the spinning brush thing would have killed her somehow.
It could have marked her up a little bit.
You know.
I'm sure if they would have made it through that, they would have had it, like, completely rip her face off or something like that.
Yeah.
Never would have done it. You get some abrasions. She'd come out a little red.
Yeah,
but
that's about it.
Oh, my God. What else do we say about this movie? I mean, we've been going hard. We've been going passionate. This is the worst of – this is the completely worst movie of the franchise.
Let's see.
I mean, even – this movie makes the exploding grill and arm landing on a plate look better by comparison.
One thing I disliked about the entire movie is how, in all the previous films, the hints, the in-your-face irony stuff that was mentioned in the first movie, I think, or maybe the second one. Was like, you know, newspaper clippings or something. You know, it was, you know, noticing an advertisement on the subway. But in here, you know, it's just like death is just like showing this guy a movie. This is what I'm going to do. Come and stop me if you dare.
Oh,
you
but
know?
it's all in 3D.
I guess that has to be that way to be visually impressive. But it wasn't in keeping with the style of the previous stories.
Yeah.
Where death was like a serial killer giving hints to the police wanting to be caught. It was more like, hey, I'm going to go over here and stab this guy.
Or, wait a minute.
At 4 o'clock.
You spill a cup of coffee and the only parts of the newspaper that don't get wet is a direct hint.
Yeah, it's only for paying attention. But
saved.
In
really?
The movie, death was just kind of say, hey, you know, I'm going to do this thing. You want to come and stop me? Come and stop me. But it's going to be exciting and maybe you might not be able to. You know, I mean, it's just, there was no subtlety in it. There was no, and there's kind of
that's
a threat.
Everything lacked subtlety.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very heavy handed and just kind of, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to find I thought of a very obscene Aaron. Let's cut this out. It was like the difference between Penthouse and Hustler.
I'm not cutting anything out. That's actually good. That's a good analogy, actually.
Penthouse and Hustler. I generally don't like people to know that I have a familiarity with what those
knows,
are.
Everyone knows the difference between Penthouse. But anyway, this is, okay, they tried to fool us once.
Yeah.
They set up a Rube Goldberg at the hair salon. Who the hell has a has a ceiling fan made of actual blades.
I would have to say that that scene was probably, for me, the most entertaining because I enjoyed working out just how it was going to happen.
It happened this way. This happened, this happened, this, and then nothing happened.
Right.
And then she goes, I have my eye on you. How did she have to say it that cheesily?
That was stupid.
That was so
cool. It was like a magician giving away the trick right there.
I have my eye on you. And as soon as she says that, oh, she's going to get nailed through the eye.
She should have said it much, much earlier in the scene, like when she's chiding her
kids. Yeah, it was too, children, it was too on the nose.
So that it was foreboding or a reference for people to see and kind of giggle at.
I'm going to put a sound clip right here. Okay. But she turns and says, I've got my eye on you. Just like that.
And it's just kind of...
Come on, lady!
I mean, you could almost hear, you know, somebody off screen going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's just...
Oh, my God. Wah, wah, wah. I was just going to say, we need a trombone. Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, boy.
What'd you think about the bathtub one? That was pretty pathetic. Like, help the old man, and then you see the guy down in the... Because they worked out that somebody else was in line, so they that was pretty okay, I guess.
It was still stupid.
If he had just stayed in bed, he would have been fine. But for some reason, you know, he decided to crawl over the floor directly underneath the point where the bathtub was going to come down.
Acme moment. It could have been a safe, and he was Wile E. Coyote.
And I thought the mall is the big follow-up sequence in this movie.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're all okay, and then the sign that swings down at the end of the first movie, you know, the semi truck takes its place here in this movie.
What if we were all this stuff happened just so we'll be here at this moment?
I wish they hadn't said that. I wish he hadn't said that. You know what would have been a great ending for this movie? They're sitting there just having a nice conversation, and the conversation does not stop. It's nice. They're laughing, and then they go out of focus, and the focus goes, you know, out the window, and you see the semi-truck coming. And you hear them just talking, and they never see it coming. And then it does exactly what it does. It crashes through the plate glass window, but they never say anything. What if it's still coming for us and we're meant to be right here at this moment? That was just lazy storytelling. It would have been so much better if we knew death was coming. We could see it coming, but they had no clue. And then it just happens. That would have been a great ending to this film, but instead they tried to go for cheese.
What really could anything have saved this film? I mean, you said it just a second. This was lazy.
Yeah, it was definite. It fell way short of the inventiveness of the previous.
Yeah, there was no imagination. I mean, like we said, I think they have like some cards, you know, like Cards Against Humanity type of cards, and just like different weird ways of dying. And they picked five, and that was it. Okay, now let's write a movie around these deaths.
It definitely seemed they started from a premise of how can we make these deaths look cool in 3D, and then they worked their way backwards from there. There's no artistry here like there was in the previous three films. Not that all the previous three films are like, you know, pinnacles of filmmaking or anything.
The first one is still the best.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. Well, I still think one and three are almost on even with each other. Mm-hmm. What did we say, with number two being slightly below?
Yeah, it's definitely a step down, simply because they had Clear Rivers.
So if one...
name of the...
That was stupid. I just groaned when I saw that. Oh, get away from water, because I see these, you know, sparkly Clear Rivers sign. And that just seemed... That was just...
Of course, Clear Rivers was the name of the character.
I mean, it would have been different if it had been like a television story about the anniversary of so-and-so's death or something, but that was just stupid. So if Final Destination 1 on the, you know, started out at the top of the franchise, the best of the best, I would put it at a 10 for 1 to 10 of best and worst within this franchise. You know, it starts off with 10 being the greatest one. Mm-hmm. Final Destination 2, I would say probably about a 7. You know, it's a dip down, but not terribly too much. And then Final Destination 3, I would say an 8 or a 9. It comes up almost to the level of
the other. I'd say 8, yeah.
And what would you say for the not Final Destination? I would put it at like a 4, a 3 or a 4. It dips way down. And I guess within my own rules, I can't really say whether it's the absolute worst one because I don't remember a lot about Final Destination 5. So we'll decide next week as to whether the Final Destination or Final Destination 4 is a 1 or not. You know, it depends on how good or bad Final Destination 5 is.
You don't remember Final Destination 5.
Huh?
You don't remember Final Destination 5?
I'm intentionally not reading too much about it. All I remember is it's about the bridge, but I don't remember anything else beyond that.
Okay, so we will find out next week on the Monster Club as we conclude the Final Destination franchise with Final Destination 5. If you've enjoyed the Monster Club, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. You can find us at cinemaunrest.com, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio.